Thank you, Pastor Jim. Good job. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Memorial Day is such a special day, and in this country we still value so much our freedom, and it was such a tremendous price. You know, the Lord is unusual. I didn't plan this message this morning, but we're going to talk. We talked a week ago about stepping out of Jericho, stepping over the Jordan, but today we're going to talk about stepping out of Egypt, out of sin. And for the children of Israel, this was a stepping out from bondage to freedom. So it kind of goes along with Memorial Day today. All the bricks and all the straw and all of the hardships and those that died in slavery, and they stepped out to freedom. And we have stepped out to freedom because of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen? All right, take your Bibles, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And if you can stand, I want you to stand. We're just going to read a few of these verses. In fact, I'm going to start in verse 35. And this is speaking of the burning bush, Moses. And it says, "Unto thee it was shown that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee, and upon earth He showed thee His great fire, and thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. And because He loved thy fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of His sight with His mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their hand, their land, for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else but Him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we pray for this nation that we love so much. Lord, we thank You for the wonderful freedoms that we have enjoyed because of the tremendous sacrifice of so many very young people, Lord, men and women, Lord, who have given their all for our freedom. And Lord, we know that You, upon that cross, gave Your all for our freedom, eternal freedom. This freedom here may not last much longer. We don't know. But we know that Your freedom has set us free forever and ever. And we praise You and thank You this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, 29, through those few verses, tell us, if you are in Christ, the Word of God here says, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are Abraham's seed. We've been grafted in to God's promise, God's chosen people. Well, the first message I talked about last week, we talked about this journey of faith and stepping out to Jericho. And today we're going to talk about stepping away from Egypt, away from sin. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it goes and talks about going down to Egypt. It always references sin. Egypt is sin. Not that Egypt is sin itself, but it was in the stories, this is what it was told. And God expected the priest to step out first before he held the waters back all the way to Adam. Last week we talked about 15 miles. He opened up a path for 2.5 million people. As spiritual leaders, we are required to step out on faith and be an example to the flock. And so this message today is more to me and to maybe our deacons and our leaders, but it's also to you. We are God's children, and we are to receive the same promise. This promise, it says, now the question is, if we are the seed of Abraham, God had promised a land of plenty to His children. Is that promise real for us this morning? And maybe not the land that you were talking about here, But God has a plan for every one of his children for spiritual victory in their lives. Amen? And John Phillips says, in talking about verse 29 of Galatians chapter 3, he says this, "We are heirs of all of the spiritual blessings made good by God. For all those who exercise faith in Christ that Abraham exercised." God doesn't want us going around defeated day after day. And there's victory in obedience to God, and there's blessing. And that's taught all through the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about the name it and claim it crowd that thinks God has to respond to all of their desires. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. But there's a place and a plan that God has for you this morning. A place of blessing that God wants you and I to journey to. Our promised land is the place where our theology merges with our reality. Isn't it about time that what we believe comes together with how we live? Many of us talk a good talk, but then our walk doesn't line up with our talk many times. And I'm talking this morning about myself. You know, God preaches the message to me many times before he ever gives it to those that I stand before. And it's tough. And he takes me to task. See, the world is waiting for Christians, for our talk to line up with our walk. They're hungry for the truth. We are the ones that have the truth. Yet many times we pervert the truth, even in our own lives and in how we live. That much of the world sees the church many times as hypocrites. Is that a true statement or not? Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says this, "In all these things we are more than conquerors." Turn to John chapter 15, if you would. Talking about perfection this morning, but I'm not talking about perfection, but in John 15, talking about living a life of victory. Do you think God wants us to live anything less than a life of victory? There are circumstances right now in many of our lives that we live in defeat or apathy. John 15 says this in verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done for you." Now this passage has been a problem for many people, for many, myself as well. But it shouldn't have to be. The condition, if you abide in me, abiding in God's will and God's love and God's word, asking includes God's will. And the clay does not tell the potter what to do. Abide is to continue to dwell. And the Greek word is meno, M-E-N-O. And it refers to as abiding in his love and his truth. Is the context there. You will not reach the promised land without abiding in the Lord. What does it say here? You abide in me, in my words, abide in you. Then your prayer life will take on a new meaning and a new victory. And God's will begin to come to pass in your life. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this. The Bible says, "God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him." God is looking for those who are serious and desperate, those that have a heart toward him this morning. Do you have a heart toward him this morning? There's nothing like knowing that we are in the center of God's will. I believe that this morning is our promised land, the will of God. We are to be going toward the will of God and toward the love of God. Are you resting in his will for your life this morning? There's assurance and satisfaction and joy knowing you are in God's promised land for you. Our obedience is the road to God's promised land. And God wants to bless you. Bless, just like you would like to bless your own children. Real peace and purpose in life comes from being in God's will, in God's promised land. You know, many times your idea of God's blessing, that it's completely different than God's idea of blessing. His blessings are far better than the ones that you are thinking of. His blessings are eternal. Many times the things that we think about are just temporal. They're not lasting. They're short-term blessings. And many times we look at other Christians' lives and those that maybe we see God working in and through them, and we just sit back and we whine to God about how things are in our own lives, wishing and wondering why we are not being blessed like they are. Well, it doesn't have to be that way, because God wants to bless you. And all the blessings of life are for every child of God. And God doesn't have favorites. He's a perfect parent. Did you know that? He loves us all. He died for all of us. He paid the greatest price for the one that is the one that's most wayward of all in this room right now. He died for you. We have different gifts to bring completion into the body of Christ. But all of the blessings of God are for every believer. John chapter 15 and verse 4, the Lord tells us that we are to abide in Him. Our promised land is a place of abiding. Where? We are to abide in His love. That's where we're safe. You know that? Deuteronomy chapter 7, you turn there if you would for just a moment. But Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to go back to this verses 37 just for a second. And the Bible says, "And because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them, and He brought you out of Egypt with His presence, with His mighty power, out of sin, out of Egypt." Our promised land begins when we step out of Egypt, when we step out of sin. Driving out before you nations greater and mightier than you to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. To give you an inheritance. We just read Galatians chapter 3, those verses, and we are the spiritual seed of Abraham, it tells us. We have an inheritance, and not just an inheritance in heaven, but we have an earthly inheritance that God wants us to live in victory. And He has a place of abiding, a place of blessing right here. Right now, we can be blessed. Well, our abiding in our promised land, this is our promised land we're talking about this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. God has His remnant, and He has set His affection on us because He loves us. We are grafted into the seed of Abraham, and He keeps His love to 1,000 generations, it says there. Do you see it? That's still us. God still keeps His covenant of love to those who seek Him and those who obey Him. I don't think we've gone 1,000 generations yet. I can't count that much, but I don't think we're there yet. God has called us to abide in His love. And even in the Old Testament, He called His children to abide in His love. And God brings about a harvest when we abide in the promised land, in His promised land. When you go home, I want you to read maybe some of the rest of Deuteronomy chapter 8. You can read verses 7, 8, and 9, but I'm going to just comment on a few of the verses. But it says, in spiritual terms, we are the seed of Abraham. And when you are obedient to God, you promised land, and your promised land is a good land. And God's definition of good may be a little different than our definition of good. His definition of good involves you, the body of Christ, the lost, the kingdom of God. And we define many times involving us alone. A land of springs and rivers. You must have water to grow a crop. I remember 1981. I'll never forget this. I was in the canning business at that time down in Florida. And California had a tremendous drought. And they produce most of the tomatoes that go into cans in America most every year. That year, our little canning plant, we ran as hard as we could the whole year because there were no tomatoes in California. It takes water. They didn't have any water. Verse 9 says, a land which you lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. It's prosperous. This land, this God that God has provided for you, it's prosperous. This land not only has harvest that you can grow, but in this land, treasures await you that are already there to be dug out and enjoyed. See, we're to be bearing fruit in our promised land. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified. How? That you bear much fruit. These words of Jesus are not just to the elite few saints. No, he is talking to all of his children here. And you're bearing much fruit glorifies the Father. That harvest comes from abiding in your promised land, in the very will of God, abiding in his love. And this is where your theology begins to merge with the reality of your life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In Christ, in his love, we abide. And God has prepared beforehand a plan that we should walk in this plan. Where? Good works in the good land of promise. And we were created in Christ Jesus, not for good works. Not just by good works, but for good works. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19 says this, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? You see that? His power is toward those who what? Believe. We're talking about a journey of faith. You know, my wife was telling me that somebody was talking and he said, do you believe in God? He says, no, I don't believe anymore. I know God. I don't have to believe anymore. I know God. I thought that was hard, but we're talking about what we really believe, and we have a heavenly inheritance. And yes, as God's children, we have an earthly inheritance. There are promises that apply to you on this earth. And it's the hope of his calling. His calling, why is it a hope? It's because God is not about to force this on anybody. He won't force you. So it's a hope of your calling, a conditional promise. There's conditions. And that hope of your calling is in your promised land. And when you begin to believe God and be obedient to him, your life will become fruitful. And the hope of your calling begins to come into the picture. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. I'm not sure all of you here this morning really want this conditional promise. God's not going to force it on you. He's not going to force it on me, but he seems to be lately. Don't you want to see the fulfillment of that promise in your life? Or do you like things the way they are right now? Here's the number one deterrent. I want to give you the deterrent. This is important. To that hope being a reality. And that hope is being fruitful in your life. God calls us to be fruitful. Hebrews 3:7, verse 7 says this, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Have you ever been rebellious? Rebellion always involves a hard heart. And he says, listen, as the Holy Spirit speaks, listen, don't harden your hearts as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Where your fathers tested me, God said, tried me and saw my works for 40 years. 40 years their hearts were hard. Verse 10, Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always do go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Do you know God gets angry? Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? You know what? We came out of sin, led by Jesus, led by his blood that was shed for us. Now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those that had sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Who sinned? Whose corpse fell in the wilderness? Think about that. A whole generation of Israelites, those 2.5 million people we talked about last week that crossed over the Jordan River, they hardened their hearts. And they had to stay for 40 years so that that generation would fall in the wilderness. We don't know the spiritual outcome of these corpses. We know Moses was one of them, and he's listed in the Hall of Faith. So we know that they all didn't miss heaven. Isn't that good? Some hope for us. Remember that message on Transfiguration a few weeks ago? Do you remember how Moses was buried right looking over to Jericho on that hill? Never got to see the promised land. Oh, yes, he did. Not never. Never say never. Especially as a child of God. You remember the Transfiguration? Where did Moses show up? In the new promised land. In front of Jesus. Yet their corpses fell in the wilderness and were God's chosen people, and they were in covenant with God. But in their earthly lives, their bodies fell like carcasses in the desert. This tells us you can live your whole life through and not make it into the promised land. And you tell God, but you were not faithful to me. God, you didn't come through for me. God says, listen, son, listen, daughter. I was holding every inch of that promised land open for you. But listen, I insist that you cooperate with me. That you trust me. That you obey me to receive my blessings. Why don't you have peace this morning or security? Are you cooperating with God this morning? That's the question. Our promised land lies ahead in the love of God. Trusting God. His plan. Not our plan, but his plan for our lives.